Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show with your host, Marcia McMahon. We have a wonderful show planned for you today, and I want to mention our wonderful music. You were listening to The Peaceful Planet by Bob Murray, who is writing this music from inspiration from the heavenly realms, and we bring it to you every Saturday. It's unlike anything else because it's being synthesized from spirit through his mediumship with John Lennon and George Harrison. So we have a very wonderful discussion and interview coming up with a special guest, Andrea McKenna Pinkham, who is the hostess and director of the Sacred Journeys division of Body, Mind, Spirit Journeys. Andrea and I are planning to take a major spiritual odyssey trip to Greece this February, and she's going to be giving us all the details of the trip and kind of day by day, and it's just going to be the most wonderful thing. And I want to mention her website, and then we'll officially launch into these discussions of all the places that we're going to be visiting. Her website is bodymindspiritjourneys.com. And you can also find information about the trip to Greece, which is coming up this February, and we're taking reservations today live. If you'd like to call in, you can receive a 50% off on one of my angel readings if you register today. And as I said, you can find it online. Also on the BBS a webpage about Peaceful Planet, there will be a link directly to Andrea's site, Body, Mind, Spirit Journeys, and more information about our trip that's going to be just the chance of a lifetime to really view the heart of Western civilization and the great legacy of the Greek civilization and connect with the powerful energies and archetypes of the gods and goddesses of the Acropolis and Delphi and so many of the sacred sites. So, Andrea, welcome to the Peaceful Planet. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Marcia. It's very nice to be here with you again.
Well, I know your travel itinerary had just ended and you flew in from somewhere this week, so I want to thank you for coming on with such short notice, and I really want to help put the word out there about this marvelous trip.
Well, I'm very excited about it and to have you with me. We're going to have a wonderful time.
Oh, I think we are, and I couldn't be more thrilled because, as you know, I'm a professor of art history, you know, in my full-time life, and I also do intuitive channeling, and I think the combination, and you also are an intuitive channel, so I think the combination of having, the right brain fully working with the intuitive and the left brain with all the information about these wonderful works of art and architecture will just be the perfect blending.
I think spirit chose it very well, don't you?
Oh, I definitely do, and I know you have a great deal of knowledge as well, and your husband's also a fine scholar, and both of you are so scholarly. So we're going to really explore the various sites that are listed on the itinerary today and let you give us more insight about some of the Greek mysteries and also the pantheon of gods and the Acropolis. And I thought what I would do to make it kind of ordered and easy is if our listeners want to click on the link in the VBS page right now under Peaceful Planet, they can see that and bring that up. And I thought maybe what we could do is go day by day, and then if we wander off into topics having to do with gods, goddesses, Delphi, or anything else, that's fine too. But I thought it'd be easy to start with the itinerary, which is so fabulous.
I think that's a very good idea. So our dates to start with, I think maybe we want to let people know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is we'll be leaving the East Coast on February 17th. That's 2008, coming up quickly. And we do still have space. We're only taking 15 people. So we want to make it a more intimate group. I do have some tours where we have larger groups, but for this one in Greece, I wanted to make it a smaller, more intimate group. So we do have a few spaces left, and like I say, we will be leaving New York on February 17th, an overnight flight, and getting into Athens on the 18th.
Right. Now, before we talk about our first day in Athens and everything, I want to mention the fair and how inclusive it is, because I think it's a really good deal. Could you give us more info on that?
That's a great idea, Marcia. Sure. Well, the tour package is what we call a land and air. It's the international air round trip from the New York City area to Athens and back, and then the land package, of course, includes all the hotels with breakfast every day. It includes transfers from the airports to the hotels. We have a professional English-speaking tour manager in Athens. We have deluxe motor coach travel, and we will have excellent English-speaking guides with us as we go to each of the sites. So besides yourself and me, we will actually have a Greek person with us that will also, that will be, you know, part of their job. That's what the guides in all of our countries do, is they give us information about the country and the sites too. So as you said, it's going to be very well-rounded.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that everything is included for the $2,000, rounded out to $2,000, you get a whole week in Greece, you get the airfare, you get these first-class hotels, you get the airfare within Greece on the smaller planes, all the bus and train connections, your breakfast every morning, some evening meals that are celebrations.
And a couple of lunches, yeah.
And some lunches. Mm-hmm. I don't see how you can... how you can pass this up. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, it really is. I wanted to do something in February so people, especially those people on the East Coast and Midwest who want to get out of the snow, could go and have a little sun and do it at a price, which, of course, because it's the off-season, we're able to do that. And it's going to be a lot more enjoyable because of that, too. We're not going to have to battle the crowd.
That's the next thing I wanted to touch on was the weather, because I was thinking that Greece is pretty nice all year round, being Mediterranean. So have you done this before in the wintertime, and what can we expect with weather?
I think we can expect sunny weather. I've looked at it, and the times that we've gone before, it's been sunny. Probably people need to bring a jacket. You know, in the mornings it's going to be chillier. It's going to warm up a little bit during the days. I would say 50s, 60s, maybe even 70s, depending on where we are. You know, we're going to travel around. And then have your jacket for at night, which will be in the hotels and in nice restaurants where there's heat. So even if you're a cold-natured person, I think you're still going to enjoy it. And it's not going to be too hot. That's the other thing. If you go, like, in the summer, late spring, summer, early fall, you have to, number one, battle the crowds. And it's not as enjoyable because it does get pretty hot there.
Yeah, and then, of course, the crowds on the Acropolis and all of that. So let's say we land in Athens that night and we fly overnight from New York City, like what they normally do for those over.
Yeah, it's an overnight flight. Mm-hmm.
How long does the flight last? I was just curious about that.
You know, I think it's 6-7 hours. It's not that long a flight. I mean, for me, that's not that long. We have some flights that are
not so bad.
No.
When I flew to Ireland the last time, it was reasonable. It was like 5 or 6 hours. And that's amazing, you know. So, I mean, for Greece, just another hour.
Yeah,
that's
it's
really
not
good.
A bad...
I was thinking it'd be 10 hours.
No, that's to Egypt. I can tell you
for sure.
New York to Cairo is 10 hours.
Oh, boy, yeah. I wouldn't like that too well. I don't like being on planes over the ocean at night. The whole idea is kind of, you just put it out of your mind, though.
Well, you go to sleep. You really do.
Yeah.
They feed you a
nice
meal, and then you just take a nap. And when you wake up, they're saying, wake up, please, and have your nice breakfast, and then it's time to land.
Yeah. It'd be wonderful. So then we land and arrive in Athens with a welcome dinner. So our time change comes in, of course.
Sure, and we give people a little time to relax, you know, at the hotel in the afternoon. We don't plan anything, so you can work on overcoming your jet lag. And we also have some little secrets that we give out in our registration packets that we've used over the years that help people do that. But so then they're ready for our welcome dinner at the hotel that night. And then the next day, we're ready to start.
Wow. So then the next day we really, we take on the great Acropolis, Parthenon, and all of the classical sculpture that was created in Greek's golden age. And this stuff is so wonderful. I've taught this for 30 years and never seen it, Andrea.
Well, you must do it then, Marcia.
I know.
And that is your forte.
I'm committed to coming. I'm sitting here looking at my art history text, and I'm looking at the Porch of the Maidens, the Caryatids, and the Parthenon, and the Nike adjusting her sandal, and the Erechtheum. And it's just like, oh, these are such magnificent works of art and architecture. And It must be a thrilling feeling to stand at the top of the Acropolis and view these works and see the vista beyond, because they're really up there high.
Well, it is, and you're right. I mean, we've heard of these all of our lives, and for people, you know, that haven't been able to travel there, it will be like a dream come true.
Yeah.
Finally,
will.
Especially if I know some of your students are considering going, and so they've studied that with you.
Yeah.
And to really see it after, you know, connecting with it through your teaching, and then to have you there with them, that will be just so awesome for them.
Well, I hope that, you know, we get a couple more students interested. You know, I have announced it many times in class, and some students just fall in love with Greece, and it's easy enough to do because there's just such a wealth of material, and really the Greek civilization is unparalleled in terms of their ability to sculpt the human form in marble and have it, all the rippling muscles so accurate, and all the gods and goddesses. And, you know, it developed from the simple Chore in the Archaic period up through the classical. In a short couple hundred years, it was really miraculous.
It really was. Very amazing. I mean, you're the teacher of it, but for me as a layperson, it's amazing. You're right.
I know you know your stuff because I've read through the website, and it's scholarly, and it's very well done. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the goddess Athena and the Parthenon and some of the things we're going to see there on the Acropolis that day.
Well, that's basically, you've named it. That's basically what we are going to see.
Yeah.
And one thing that I do want to stress is that each day, you mentioned you're being an intuitive channel, myself being one, and one of my great passions when I take these groups wherever, and certainly here, will be what the title of the tour says, connecting to the gods and goddesses within. So since we're talking about Athena, let's just start there, right?
Absolutely.
And what we will do is, part of my job and my joy is to give people time. We'll do, depending on the crowds, depending on the timing, you know, we just kind of go and flow with the energy, but Spirit always works it out, so it works out perfectly, and we get exactly what we need. But the idea is that we will have time at each site to do some sort of meditation, and where it's possible, maybe some sort of group sacred ceremony, which I lead a guided meditation, and then people have time to go in and bring those energies in. So that energy of Athena, the goddess of wisdom, the goddess of war, that will be a very interesting one for people to bring in, because I would say 99.9% of the people who travel with us are pacifists, right? So
yeah.
War is not something that's in their consciousness that they usually want to bring in, but it usually leads to that, that struggle within ourselves of the light and the dark, you know, our shadow and our wisdom. So that's the way I'm going to frame it with when we work with the Athena energies there.
Well, you know, I don't know where I put it now, but I've channeled Athena one time.
Oh, wonderful.
She came in, I guess it was in a reading I did for someone.
Well, maybe you can find it, or maybe she'll come through again, Marcia.
I think she probably will, and I was so honored because, you know, at first, with the concepts that were taught in school, you know, and especially being in academia, I don't bring this up to my students that I channel some of these ancient gods, but I do say this. I explain to them that all these gods and goddesses have a kernel of truth in them.
Absolutely.
And that you really need to look into all of the world of religions and all of the ancient traditions, because there is hidden wisdom and hidden teaching for everyone there. And I explain that when we go to these sites, they are so beautiful that they can be a spot for meditation on sublime beauty, if nothing else. So, you know, I don't get full force into intuitive channeling or anything like that with the students, because they're not ready usually, but they may be. And it's interesting, too, the way some people will awaken, you know, to the broader concept, which I embrace now, is that, you know, looking back on ancient history and everything, I realize and recognize that a lot of these gods and goddesses may have been ascended masters, may have lived a life and contributed something, or they come from a very high place, and I believe that even in the very earliest of the religions, there were these guides and masters looking over humanity, and they have different names in different traditions.
Absolutely.
But many of them are the same.
And they are.
And I know your husband
exactly.
Does a lot of work with that, and I confirm the truth of that. So Anyway, I also have this wonderful message about Atlantis, which I may or may not have time to read today. But if I find it and we have time, I will share it. It was dealing with the reunification of families from Atlantis. So anyway,
wonderful.
I think that we have an Atlantis connection to ancient Greece and ancient Egypt. I'm a firm believer in Atlantis and Lemuria. There's ample evidence even today.
Oh, I would certainly agree.
And Plato certainly mentions Atlantis as well in his writing. So, you know, we go back to the Greeks, and there's just such richness there within their culture. They originated so many of the myths, of course, with the Iliad and the Odyssey, and then, of course, those books were used to discover both, I believe, Mycenae and Troy, and then, of course, Crete. And Mycenae's also on the trip.
Yes, we will be going there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that, too, although Mycenae was the more warfaring component of that culture.
Yes,
well,
for sure.
Well, I love the Minoan culture because I really do aspire to go to Crete someday because it was such a pacifistic island culture. You know, it's really wonderful.
Well, Crete will be on one of our itineraries that we'll be doing perhaps later. I'm not sure. I think probably not till 2009, and I do want to talk to you about, of course, doing that trip with us. I think that would be perfect.
I think that would be wonderful, too, yeah. So anyway, let's move on from the Acropolis then, and looks like we're on day four here. We're at Mycenae, Epidaurus, and Olympia.
Right. We leave Athens, and we travel out, and in Mycenae, we get to see the beehive tombs of King Agamemnon, and the Lion's Gate there, which is one of the most, as I've put on the website, one of the most earliest known pieces of monumental sculpture on the European continent.
The picture
I have on the website doesn't do it justice, so you have to see it in person
to
get that.
I've taught that many times in art history, and, you know, the Lion's Gate is very... very much related to a lot of the earlier Hittite lion gates that were existent in Anatolia, which is ancient Turkey.
Exactly.
And they're culturally linked, but not the same culture. And I think that Lion's Gate is very powerful, and it gives a clue to that particular culture being, I think, a lot more warlike than the other because of the need for the citadel. But I understand that, you know, also looking at all these ancient cultures compositely, a lot of them used Lion Gate. I mean, Lion Gate was done all over in Iraq and Mesopotamia, and so it was a common thing. But this is a particularly interesting and impressive site because the lions are huge, aren't they?
I believe they are, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that megalithic construction, and, you know, going back to what you were talking about, Atlantis, it gives us that link that somewhere in there was that link to the megalithic construction that we do find all over the planet.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's also interesting, too, something I noticed early on when I was just an art student some 30 years ago. Why is it that we always have this prevalence of the mixing of the human form with the human body on the top, say, with the horse's body on the bottom in the form of a centaur in the case of the Greeks, or... you know, the Minotaur or any of these animal-human forms in the Greek legends, and then also that reaches over into the Mesopotamian legends.
Correct.
And also into Egypt.
Definitely into Egypt.
So you've got these combinations, and it was only after I read Edgar Cayce's work on Atlantis that explained this terrible genetic thing that was going on at the time called the Things. And it makes sense if you think about it, you know. Although the Things, you know, it could be real, it could not be real. But, you know, why do you see this all over the place with this? And there is talk, you know, in some of the works on Atlantis of this genetic manipulation and aberrations that were created then.
Right, that is
so,
one of the theories, yeah.
So anyway, I was always fascinated with the ancient Greeks and how many of these gods and goddesses they had, and some of the tales they had about them, of course. And then, I think there's, like I said, there's a kernel of truth in all of it because, the archaeologists were able to use the Trojan stories in the Iliad and the Odyssey to uncover Troy and to
Exactly.
uncover some of these other sites by tracing the exact trip. I think it was Sir Arthur Evans and then
right.
Heinrich Schliemann, mm-hmm. who both discovered these places by following the truth in the Odyssey. So, you know, we're going to be on our own little odyssey, discovering our own little truths. And that's the thing with travel. Doesn't it awaken you to different levels of truth each time you go?
Most certainly. Myself, yes. And we have people, there are going to be some people in this group already who've traveled with me several other places. And they're very excited because it'll be their first time in Greece. And they're already talking about how they are going to be integrating just life in general. And, of course, the other travel that they have done. So whether people have actually traveled anywhere else or not, as you say, it's an odyssey, and we're definitely going to be able to reach within ourselves and find some of those truths that perhaps have kind of been hiding out that some of us have not even been willing to own. I know I have a lot of women who come on the trips with me, and actually, let me not just say women. I'll say women and men. And I'm hearing more and more how they feel so much more empowered after going to these sacred sites and being able to meditate in the energies. And as you're talking about, they can relate to, we call them the gods and the goddesses, and maybe they were half human, half animal. But what does that animal represent to that person? It could be something different for each person, but it pulls something from their psyche that needs to be brought to the forefront for themselves, to become re-empowered, more empowered, just to become a more fully functioning, happier human being.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing that I really applaud in your work, Andrea, that comes through in these well-written itineraries is that you are allowing and opening a portal for the appreciation of the divine aspect of the Godhead, commonly called the goddess or the feminine divine. And I think that that needs to be acknowledged. We have had 2,000 years of patriarchal rule under the authoritarian and very repressive arm of many of these branches of fundamentalist religion. And I'm not going to name any religions in particular or put any down, but you know, it's been very patriarchal experience, and women have not been allowed their voices up until now. Just recently we have women becoming ordained to ministry, etc.
Exactly.
But, you know, it seems as though these gods, and especially the goddesses, the goddess Athena and all these other ancient feminine energies of the divine, even if you just prefer to think of them as an archetype rather than an actual goddess, I think what we have here is a wealth of feminine love, support, matriarchal, nurturing energy that needs to be brought out into the mainstream a lot more.
Well, I fully agree with you, and of course that is the basis of my work and my husband's work, is the return of the divine feminine. And we do find, through taking people to these sacred sites and supporting them through meditation and sacred ceremony, to connect with that divine feminine energy, that it does bring more of a balance. And that's for the men, too. I mean, just because you're a man on the planet in a male body right now doesn't mean you don't have a feminine side. And it's beautiful to see men claim their divine feminine during our trips. I'm very excited about that, for this one especially. And, in fact, I'm recommending, once people register, Jean Shinoda Bolen wrote Goddesses in Every Woman, followed by Goddesses in Every Man. And I'm recommending that people, you know, read those, because mm-hmm. it's going to really help us in owning those parts of ourselves. And, yes, bringing that balance with each of ourselves. That's what's going to bring the divine feminine, isn't it? Is for each of us to own that again within ourselves. Because, as we say, peace begins at home. Well, the return of the divine feminine begins at home within each of us. And,
yes,
and
as the old saying goes, if women were in charge of all the wars, there wouldn't be any.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how it is with the divine feminine or the goddess energies. We understand that the females of the culture just tend to be more nurturing and protective. And I think that, you know, with the Greek pantheon of gods, we have some excellent examples.
We certainly do.
Of various functions that they attributed to their gods and goddesses. And I still say that there's a kernel of truth in all of them, and going to these places and viewing these ancient ruins is just going to be so thrilling and so wonderful, and I'm sure that it will be a cause of awakening for everyone on the trip.
Oh,
let me put the number out here for everyone who would like to call in and maybe ask questions.
Thank you,
Andrea, or myself, or if you'd like to call in and register to be on the trip, you can do that as well and receive a 50% off angel reading with me. And our toll-free number is 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada to call in for a question for Andrea about the trip is 888-810-8322, and we await your calls if you would like to call in and ask her anything. You can tell from talking to you, Andrea, that you are a very spiritually deep, thoughtful, evolved person, and you're in the right type of work.
Well, hey, Marcia, it takes one to know one, my dear.
Yeah, and you know, it's really neat that we met and connected this way, and I just can't wait to go on the trip. I just think it's going to be so interesting, and I had a reading done recently by, the psychics that I have on my shows,
sure.
We will exchange readings, and mm-hmm. this very dear friend of mine who's gifted said that something, when I go to Greece, and I definitely am going, she said,
yay!
She said that I would be connecting more with Archangel Michael and also a healing gift, and I was going to discover something about a past life, which I'm already sensing because I have this terrific interest in Delphi.
I was wondering maybe if it was Delphi. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, go ahead. Tell us about Delphi and what you've experienced when you've gone there before. I'm just curious because maybe you have a connection to Delphi too.
Well, you know, as an intuitive channel, I think anyone who does that like you and I do, you know, there's some connection there because whatever you want to say, my intuitive hit is that's part of what was going on there. Of course, at the famous Oracle of Delphi. I mean, 2,000 years, you know,
it was
looked upon and the kings came from all over the world, you know, for their prophetic messages from the Pythonesses or the Pythia, as they were called. I have to say, I cannot remember where I was reading it recently. It was on the plane, I think, as Mark and I were flying back from Ireland. But I was reading about research that had been done there recently where they had tried to find the rift in the mountainside because there was I know where it was, the Jesus Papers by Michael Bajant, who co-wrote Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the Jesus Papers, if anyone wants to pursue that. He was talking about how they tried to find, you know, the rift there, the earthquake, because one of the theories of how these priestesses were able to be oracles, of course, was that they were breathing vapors.
Exactly.
From a fissure under the earth where, you know, it was consciousness changing, whatever it was.
Yeah,
okay? And
exactly.
There are theories about what that is. We don't need to go into it now. But they were going into altered states of consciousness. And as you and I both know from the work that we do with that, when you get your ego out of the way, you can be that conduit so that spirit can speak more clearly. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that for the people that are going to go there, it's going to be a great opportunity. Somehow we're going to make sure that we have time while we're there so that people can have their opportunity to connect with the oracle within themselves. At the Oracle of Delphi, one of the most sacred sites on the earth, the energies are still present. I mean, it is one of the most visited sites, of course, in all of all of Greece and all of the sacred sites in the world. It's very, very famous, as we know. But Spirit's calling us there, so Spirit is going to give us that opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the sanctuary of Athena, and it is just so breathtaking.
It is, it is.
And then it's a ruin, of course, because there were so many earthquakes.
Yes, exactly.
But I do tell my students the story about the earthquake, the fissure, and then I give them a little hint about psychic powers, and I say, and you know, all the ancient leaders of the ancient world went to the Oracle of Delphi and had prophecy given.
That causes
them
to
think.
In very
many cases, it was accurate, such as the Peloponnesian Wars, which was directly predicted.
Right.
So, you know, I think those were the glory days when psychics all had great names in the ancient world, you know.
Well, and we're not persecuted for it.
Exactly. It was looked up to. I believe there were many people, even in Jesus' time, who would consult with the Oracle of Delphi. So, you know, I can't wait to go see that site. That's the most exciting one of all. And the Sanctuary of Athena, even though it's a ruin, it looks like a wonderful place to paint. I'm going to be bringing my watercolor tablets.
I don't know. That's so exciting.
It is, yeah. I think, you know, when I went to Ireland, I was able to do some quick sketches of sites, but, you know, usually it would take me a full day of being on the site in order to do a painting. So,
well, we will have a full day at Delphi. Whether you want to sit at the temple, you know, the Sanctuary of Athena the whole time, but we do have it. In fact, day 6, Friday, February 22nd, it's a full day there.
I'm looking at it right
so
now.
So you should have time to work with your art there. And
that would be wonderful, or just, you know, getting some good photos to work from when I get back, you know.
Sure.
But it is just so breathtakingly beautiful up there in those mountains. And another famous work that I usually teach in my lectures that has been my favorite forever, and I've taught this for 30-some years, is the Charioteer at Delphi.
Yes.
And how wonderful that early bronze work is in the early classical Sabir style. It's so beautiful. I have not seen it, but I understand it's in a museum nearby. Is that right? Or?
That's my understanding, too. I've not seen it either, but that's one thing that I didn't put it on the website because I haven't fully explored that yet, but it's definitely something that we're going to check out.
Well, if it's there at that museum, I'm not really sure. I think it's at a museum nearby, and it was one of the few remaining things to survive, and the reason it survived is because it fell into the fissure in the earthquake.
Right.
It was in one of the earthquakes, and it was a bronze, and it got stuck down there, and then they retrieved it out of there. So that's how they were able to keep that, which is true for a lot of the Greek works.
Well,
and
no accidents, eh?
No accidents at all, and that's a marvelous piece. So, you know, it would just be so thrilling to see so many of these pieces that I've admired for so many with them for a lifetime, really.
Well, they're waiting for you, dear. They are definitely waiting for you.
So, you know, the oracle and everything, I really resonate with that, you know. I really wonder about that. So that's just got my curiosity really piqued because I believe that the oracle was known to be so accurate for the ancient world. So I'm very intrigued in that, of course.
Well,
but, everything there at Delphi is so beautiful. The other temple of Apollo is earlier, too. I think it's an earlier Doric temple, isn't it?
I believe that's correct. I don't have a picture of it for people that are on the website now for them to look at. I do have some in my files, but yes, it is earlier. But
so,
it's very breathtaking also.
When you do your meditations there at Delphi, do you feel more of a connection with the mountain air and the earth than the earthquake areas? Is there something unique about the land and the feeling of setting foot there?
Well, there certainly is that for people that want to tune into it. You know, everyone's different, as you know. I'm saying this to the audience. We all know this. And some people are going to tune in to what we call the spirit of Mother Nature, okay? Some people are going to tune into just the clarity that they will be able to access because of being on that ancient site that was used to do that clarity of receiving messages because it was for so long used for that. It's really hard to say, Marcia, you know, what people are going to feel there. That's the exciting part is to see, to support people and see what comes forth for them because everybody's unique gift of spirit is there waiting for them.
Yes.
And
you know,
you're describing, there's so much to support people in that at all of these sites, but particularly here, as you're saying. So thank you for pointing that out.
Well, there's so many sacred sites throughout the world, and I know when I visited Peru many years ago, I was on this island of Uros.
Yes, the floating island in Lake
Titicaca.
Beautiful,
and suddenly it was like I was surrounded by a magnitude of children, and it was just the most incredible experience. So you never know when you're going to have one of these incredible experiences of blissful travel, but I predict this trip's going to have a lot of
I think we're going to have more than one. Yeah, there are going to be several, that's for sure. Yeah,
I just can't wait. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. I know you have some expertise on the Temple of Eleusis and the Greek mystery schools there.
Well, it's interesting about the Eleusinian mysteries, which is there's a lot written about them. And, of course, you know, we can go through what the myth is of Demeter and Persephone, her daughter, and Demeter being the great mother goddess and her daughter being kidnapped by Hades, taken to the underworld. Demeter looking for her, pining away, causing the vegetation to die, and then the whole idea of her daughter, Persephone, being able to come above ground for part of the year. Anyway, that is the Greek counterpart of how the seasons came to be, the connection with Mother Nature, et cetera, et cetera. So what are the Eleusinian mysteries? How are they connected with that? And what does that mean for the death and rebirth of our soul? It's quite interesting. In fact, I was just reading over some of the information before the program again this morning. And on pain of death were the initiates.
Really?
So they could not reveal the rites.
Hmm.
So there is nothing written. There has been nothing in the literature
that
says this is what happened. There has been nothing that people can find. And, you know, my husband Mark is much more of a researcher than me. He's not been able to find it in the small amount that I've done in preparation for taking people over for this tour. No, we don't know. We know that they did change their state of consciousness during part of the rites when they were going into the darkness, so to speak, so on a spiritual level, going inside. They took some sort of drink. There's many theories about what kind of sacred sacrament, plant medicine that was, that altered their consciousness. We don't know. The Eleusinian mysteries are still a mystery, and I am very excited.
I'm
very
excited
for people. Yeah, for people to do a little psychic archaeology is what I call it on my trip.
Well, you know, I might be the one.
I think that you definitely are going to get something there. Absolutely, I'm very excited to be there with you and see what comes forth for you. Because
I always keep a notebook in case I begin to receive messages,
sure.
And my messages are just very spontaneous. It's just I spend time in meditation, and then when I have a question, I'll go to a particular guide, or I'll just say, I'm here listening, and you just open yourself up to it, and you surround yourself in light, and that's really all there is to it. And
yeah.
I have a particular penchant for uncovering some of these ancient mysteries, so we'll just have to see.
I'm very
And you
excited.
Never know when you're going to get the answer either.
Well,
you know?
That's what I want to do. In fact, I haven't mentioned, but we're going to have sharing circles, I'm calling them. They're voluntary. People don't have to share, but if people want to, and I found on my trip that they do want to share their experiences. So, for instance, when we're here, when we go to Eleusis, we want to let each person have their experience, do their little psychic archaeology, tune in, meditate, write about it. I'm going to encourage people to bring a journal, of course. I always do. And then later when we have our sharing circle, it's going to be very interesting, and I guarantee you that there are going to be people who are going to get the same thing, because I have seen this happen on my trips over and over and over.
Oh, wow.
In different places.
So really what people are doing when they're channeling, and it's a very valid practice as far as I'm concerned, because you're able to access the Akashic level.
Right.
And if one person gets the same thing as another and you do the sharing circle, that's brilliant, because what that is verification that this is truth.
This is very, very true, Marcia, and we all need that, you know,
yeah,
on our
we
path.
Definitely
it's,
do.
It's very, very encouraging. It will be for me when I, whatever I get, if you get the same thing or someone else does, and vice versa. We all tend to doubt ourselves to some extent. I think that's human nature, and I think that's probably a little good thing, too, that our egos don't take over and they don't puff up and, you know, we don't get out of alignment, as I call it. So it's good to be open and see what we can get and see how each person will validate the other. I'm that's one of the things I'm most excited about at all of the places that we're going to be going to.
That is a wonderful thought. I can't wait to participate. And again, if there are people that just want to enjoy the ancient Greek mysteries and experience them, they're not compelled in any way either to be part of the meditation. They don't
no, absolutely not. Those are always optional things that we offer.
Yeah.
Most people end up, they might not start off, but they end up, in fact, I've never had someone who didn't do at least one meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, they're peaceful, like you're talking about when you're at Delphi and up at the Temple of Apollo. It's just so peaceful.
Well, it's so beautiful. And And all the ancient energies are there. The work of the ancient sculptors and stonemasons and the effort of the great Western heritage that we owe a debt to with Greece is all there. So, I mean, the stones themselves are sacred for that very reason, if nothing more. You know, so you can take it on whatever level you want. You can be literal. You can be figurative. You can be, you can do the channeling. I can't wait to be part of the channeling circles because I think that'll be really interesting. And I always bring a notebook wherever I go so that I can write mine down because that's kind of how I do it. If I don't write it down, I forget it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's the way that state of mind is.
And you never know when you're going to get something really important,
yes.
You know.
Right.
So same thing with art, too. You know, I try to record where I am, but I bet this is going to be a bit of a whirlwind with everything, although there will be time for the meditations. You know, I would probably still pack the small watercolor pad, but I'm not going to put it foremost in my thoughts as far as what I want to do because I really want to just experience it. And sometimes you can spend a whole day on a watercolor and miss seeing everything else, too, you know.
It's kind of the same thing I tell people who travel with us that want a videotape. Take some, but don't have your whole experience be behind the camera. The same would be for yourself as an artist or a photographer, still photography, because you are right on. This is about the experience. Absolutely,
and
the experience.
And the other members of the group as well. I think that usually in circles like this, I've worked with you know, my Ascension study group, and that kind of thing, there's a sort of inner harmony that begins to flow among people that are spiritually growing, and usually it's harmonious. And
very much.
Yeah, usually it's a very good vibration. So all in all, you know, I'm thrilled to be going with you and plan to go. And I want to put out the website again, and I want to give out my email and yours and the phone number and all the information once more. Again, if you're listening, you can go directly to the Peaceful Planet show page on BBS by clicking on Saturday and then clicking on the Peaceful Planet at 10 a.m., and you'll see the information, and there will be a link directly to Body, Mind, Spirit and the Greece Spiritual Odyssey under Andrea's bio. And then also, you can also contact her through email, and let me see about, where did I put your email here? You can tell me what the email is, Andrea.
I think the best one to use is my personal email for the company, which is BMS Journeys, BMS for Body, Mind, Spirit, so BMS Journeys, and that's at AOL.com.
We also BMS Journeys.
At AOL.com. We also have our website email, which is info@bodymindspiritjourneys.com.
And would you also give us your 800 number?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you. 800-231-9811. And that works in the U.S., so for any Canadians you would need, or anyone else in the world, you would need to call us at 928-284-2311. 84. So 800-231-9811 or 928-284-2384.
Wonderful. And we do encourage our listeners to give you a call today and at least inquire and get on the mailing list about this. I also want to give out my email in case you want to contact me for any reason regarding the trip or regarding the angel reading. If you're planning to sign up today, you can reach me at DianaSpeaks@Hotmail.com. Again, that's DianaSpeaks@Hotmail.com. And also, I want to direct our listeners to my website where I have all kinds of interesting things that are soon going to be up for sale for the holidays. My book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, is available on www.DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com. And there are readings as well. And there will be a special on the readings going up shortly. And if you were listening today and you would like a 50% off reading, please contact me through email or through the website to sign up for the 50% off reading. So anyway, it was wonderful having you on our show. We have kind of come to a point where we have a little time for some music, and we're going to play some music and close out. Was there anything else that you wanted to add today?
About the trip.
Yeah, about the trip or anything else.
Well, there's a lot of anything else. Have me back on for the anything else's, right?
Well, I know you also, let me read your parts of your bio here and just give people an idea of how broad your work is. Andrea is the director of Sacred Journeys Division of Body, Mind, Spirit Journeys and has been leading spiritual pilgrimages around the world since 1994. She is also the North American Grand Prioress of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, trained shamanic practitioner, Reiki Grandmaster, and I can't pronounce the other type of spiritual discipline there, a type of Reiki, a spiritual counselor and teacher in the Seven Rays Healing School. So you can find more about Andrea if you click the link that says click here on the Grief Tour, because I know you have your own website, and you work with the International Order of Gnostic Templars, correct?
That's correct. My husband and I are the North American commanders, Grand Prior, Grand Prioress of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which is a current day, it's a modern Templar order. We are spiritual warriors, we call ourselves, and we are dedicated to the return of the divine feminine upon the planet and people having their Gnostic experience, the return of the divine feminine, which espouses Gnostic wisdom, which is your own direct experience of the divine, God, goddess, your higher power, whatever you call it. And that's what our work is about when we take people to sacred sites around the world. And again, when you and I go, Marcia, to Greece, I know that you are going to be a major part in that also, helping people to connect with the divine within through the archetypes of the god goddesses that we're going to be experiencing at these sacred sites. So,
well, it's been such a joy to have you on the show, Andrea. Thank you so much for coming and for your wonderful work that you do.
Thank you, Marcia.
And I can't wait to be on the tour, and I hope that we have our listeners out there who will find this interesting and will be eager to sign up for the tour. So many blessings to you. Have a wonderful holiday, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks again.
Thank you, Marcia.
We're going to close out today's show with the song Lotus Opening by Bob Murray, and Lotus Opening was originally inspired by George Harrison. Enjoy, and many holiday blessings to our listeners. Bye for now.
sleeps from my son.